if the barrier is we don't think it's useful, I've got data and evidence that shows it is. If it's because nobody else is doing it, let's be the first.
You're listening to Across Indiana with Josh and Jana.
A home for highlighting the impact of collaboration and partnership around the Hoosier State.
We do it for the kids!
I got it.
All right,
good.
All right, this is yours.
Y'all got this?
You guys got
OT.
This. This is yours.
Nice!
Wow.
All right, now hold on. Just hold on.
Y'all got this.
That was perfect.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Across Indiana with Josh and Jana. What you are hearing right now is not a basketball game. It's not a football game, but it is a new kind of sport that has been growing exponentially in Indiana over the last few years. It is e-sports. There are 3 billion gamers out there, and the esports market is about $1.1 billion. In Indiana specifically, there's a push to make the Hoosier State a hub for esports. So the growing popularity and profitability of esports are pressing high schools and universities to redefine their role, which narrows down our focus for today's discussion, high school esports. Josh, what do you think about high school esports?
Yeah, so I think my perspective is that, Jana, you and I are somewhere close to 30 years old. I think I went to high school between 2004 and 2008, and my first introduction to anything esports was getting together with friends on the weekend, physically connecting our Xboxes together with cables, and having LAN parties so that we could play Halo together. People our age, I assume, will know what that is, but to go from 16 people in a house playing Halo to a $1.1 billion industry in around 15 years is kind of nuts, and it's why we're talking about it here today.
That is nuts. So you were playing Halo in high school. What are you playing now?
So I'm not that great of a gamer, but my friends and I do play one of the more popular esports games that's emerged over the last 10 years, Rocket League, and yay. I know that you just had your first experience with Rocket League.
I did. I got to go to an esports match and have never seen Rocket League. I have heard of it. It was pretty confusing for me.
How would you describe Rocket League to people that maybe have not heard of it before?
Okay. I would say it kind of looks like you're at a soccer match, but I feel like there was dirt and there was a giant bouncy ball that was glowing. There were tiny cars that I think the people on the team were controlling, and they had their little cars going and defending the giant ball from going into the net. It was very exciting. Sometimes there were really cool blocks and I knew what was going on, but sometimes cars started spinning and people were getting mad and I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, it is an intense game. It can be a frustrating game. It can be a fun game, but the easiest way to think about it, and that was a great description, Jana, but the easiest way to think about it is Hot Wheels soccer.
Nice. Hot Wheels soccer. You heard it here first. Well, from someone who's only played DDR and Wii games, I have learned a lot by doing this episode, and maybe I'll try Rocket League one day.
You definitely will.
There you go. Well, there are lots of schools playing this game, and more across the U.S. There are more than 4,000 high schools in North America that have created an esports club in the past 8 years, and in Indiana, the same trend is happening. Indiana High School Esports Network, otherwise known as ISEN, is one of the first organized grassroots teacher and student-centered organizations that exist to provide an in-state network of competition and rivalries.
So this is similar to the IHSAA. Do other states do something different?
Yes. So for esports, the alternative to what's happening in Indiana would be a business-run or business-sponsored for-profit league. Which is why Indiana is really becoming a trendsetter in this space. And when I talked to Nate, the founder and director of ISEN, he shared that they are in their third year of play, with their current season having 61 school districts across the state compete. So the esports industry is growing, but some people are saying pump the brakes.
Yeah, as with most sports, there are potential barriers to play. And for esports, this could be related to the digital divide or barriers to funding at the school level. In addition, the major concerns vocalized by parents and researchers are around screen time, violence, and its correlation to video games, and even just the basic discussion of whether esport is a sport. What I will say, though, is that ESPN does have an esports channel, and the International Olympic Committee is exploring how to leverage the growing popularity of virtual sport to grow direct relations with youth. And so I think even though there's a discussion, the fact that ESPN, a huge media company, and the Olympics are on board is a big deal.
Yes, that is so true. And now we're at a place where some Indiana schools are quick to adopt esports as a club or team, and some are not. So we've shared a bit about why this might be the case, but today we're going to look into what happens when a school does move forward with embracing an esports team, which leads us to our big question. Is there more to esports than video games? We will start in Kids Corner with our guest star, Jacob. From there, we'll interview Joe, a teacher and the esports coach at Snyder High School in Fort Wayne. Finally, we'll round it out with our big idea and our moment of inspiration for this month. In Kids Corner today, we have Jacob, a senior at Snyder High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I asked Jacob to help me understand how he got involved in esports, and here's what he shared.
Hi, I'm Jacob. I'm a senior at Snyder High School. I think it started in my interactive media class my sophomore year. There was talk about having an esports team or like an esports club. And I mean, I've always grown up playing video games and have been super involved with that. So I always thought it was a super cool experience to be able to come into my school, and even if it was a club, and just participate.
So Jacob shared that at Snyder, the esports scene started as a club and morphed from there, but it took the support of a lot of school leadership to get it where it is today, an official Snyder sports team.
As the year progressed, they kind of started to grow. There was more support for it. Our principal did, more teachers. So then it finally started to grow into an actual extracurricular activity, like a actual sport.
So now that it's recognized as a sport, what does that mean for you to be on this team?
So I've known these kids pretty much my whole life. They're really close friends of mine, and we all thought it'd be just super cool if we could do something we do outside of school and bring it into a more like competitive place. A lot of people don't think it, but esports is still a sport. You're almost going against other schools and competing the same way you would in any other sport. I mean, I've played tennis all 4 years of my high school experience. Most of my friends have played tennis. So going into esports, we kind of knew what to expect from a competitive standpoint. It's trying to better yourself and to bring your school to victory.
Just like other high school sports, esports has seasons, and Jacob shared about the Indiana and national competition.
So a regular season starts with ISIN on Wednesdays, which is our Indiana High School Esports League. So we basically get matched up with just other Indiana schools, which in this case, Carmel, like Anderson, stuff like that. And on Thursdays, we have HSEL, High School Esports League. So we get put on a queue on a website, and whoever is also queuing at the time, we play against them. So I could play somebody from across the United States, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
A regular practice is coming in after school or before school. We warm up for our game for like 5-10 minutes, and we jump into a match and we work on things that we think we need to work on. So if I'm struggling with something, my team will help me like fix my mistakes and get better. We've had plenty of college visits here. We've had coaches from other esports teams come down and talk to us and say, if, like, we're setting up our pathway into college and we could even play on an esports team in college. Another thing that was very, very interesting is we sometimes set up scrimmage matches against other colleges. A few people on my team, we have played with Ball State and we have close relations to them. I feel like it's a lot more interlinked with us. We kind of get to decide what goes on, which is pretty cool.
Jacob talked about feeling empowered through esports and can see the connection from what he's doing now to his future. So I got curious about what his perspective is on people's hesitancy toward esports.
A lot of older people and parents, when you spend a lot of time on your video game, you're kind of seen as wasting your time and it's not really valuable. You're not learning something. But with the esports and this whole experience with Snyder, I can take something that I love and I've done my whole life and I can make a career out of this. Like I could go to college, I could get scholarships just as much as I could with a football scholarship.
I talked to Nate at IHSEN and he mentioned his vision of legitimizing esports. So you walk into any high school in Indiana and there's a team. What do you think?
Esports should be legitimized. And I feel like very soon it is going to be. Esports is seen as more of a real sport in the upcoming years. Live esports events like pro players and whatnot are getting crazy amount of views that even rival the NFL, NBA. So it's becoming a national phenomenon. And I think it's really important that we start getting kids in high school, middle school, ready to even take that step into the next world and even try going pro.
Okay, I have one more question for you. What is your favorite ice cream place in Indiana?
Definitely not an ice cream place, but I'd have to say Chick-fil-A. I think it has one of the best chocolate milkshakes in Indiana. Wow.
So. Whoa, you heard it here, folks. Potentially the best chocolate shake in Indiana. Jacob, thank you for plugging us in to the esports scene at Snyder. Now let's head over and chat with Jacob's coach, Joe. Today, our expert is Joe Wilhelm at Snyder High School in Fort Wayne. I will turn it over to him to introduce himself.
Sure. My name is Joe Wilhelm. I'm a science teacher here at Snyder High School in Fort Wayne. I'm also a technology coordinator. And as of this year, officially, I am the director of esports at Snyder High School.
Wow. It sounds like having your technology background makes sense for you being in the esports position. So I'd love it if you could walk us through how Snyder's esports team came to be.
Sure. So it's actually the athletic director at Snyder has been kind of interested in esports for probably 4 or 5 years now. I'm just trying to figure out what that might look like here at Snyder to offer to students. It was in the preliminary stages for quite a few years, just trying to figure out, is the state of Indiana going to offer this? Are there other leagues? What does it look like? Then there was an informal kind of club that happened during the school year where students kind of explored what professional esports was. They talked with a few esports athletes and some different organizations, but it wasn't playing games. It was just kind of during the school day extracurricular during our club time where they explored esports. Then myself and another teacher took a group of students to a technology competition here in Northeast Indiana. And our principal saw that and we won first place and kind of looked at the kids that we had participating and realized that these students aren't participating in a lot of other activities that we offer and figured out, well, we're really missing an opportunity. So my principal actually just approached me a couple days after Tech Fest and said, we're going to start up an esports program and you're in charge.
That's exciting. You talked about red tape from the school side. Can you talk a little bit more about that and or any barriers that you might have faced with parents and the students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the biggest barrier is just lack of knowledge and understanding, right? I mean, esports is really new as an organized activity. And the explanation of what esports is, you know, video games as a competitive sport. And people tend to focus on the video game part of that statement and not the organized competitive sport side. I mean, even once we got past the education part of, you know, the stigma, it was then, well, how do we do this? And there was a lot of research and education at a lot of different levels. So the circle of people that we were talking to just kind of kept growing by one or two every time. It's not about just letting kids play video games. It's about motivating students to participate in school. It's about giving them a reason to be here and to care. It's about tapping into students who have never been part of an organized activity before. I think I shared with you earlier that 84% of students in high school involved in esports report finally finding a place to belong.
Jacob, in his interview, mentioned too that he felt like esports were really close to being legitimized. And so can you also weigh in on that?
Sure. One of the biggest things we focused on from the beginning was we didn't want to treat this just like a normal club. We wanted it to be an athletic sport. And I think from the very beginning, that gave us a lot of legitimacy in the school's eyes, because there are set standards for academic participation and results and behavior and attendance that are tied directly to like the IHSAA. So modeling our program after that athletic instead of after just a club where it was a little more lax kind of inherently gave administration a sense of, well, they're taking this seriously, but also the students, right? We have them sign full athletic code of conducts and have meetings and things beforehand with parents where they're understanding that there is a structure to this.
So you have 95 kids. You set it up like a traditional team where you have a varsity JV freshman team?
Yeah, so we have most of our games have a varsity team, a junior varsity team, and a club level team. So like, for instance, like Overwatch on Wednesdays, we have, it's six players per team and we have three teams. So we have 18 students competing on computers in the lab. Then we have Super Smash Brothers players practicing and we have our shoutcasters casting the game on Twitch. So there's 30 to 35 students in our esports lab every day. One of the exciting parts is like the diversity that we've seen too. So we were gender, race, socioeconomic agnostic, right? If you want to be a part, you can be a part. Our program is 100% free to students based on the money that we have from the school, from FWCS, and from our sponsor, Aptera. We have about 34% minority students in our esports program and about 19% non-male student, which is not proportional to our population at large. There's a lot that we've done to try to combat that stigma for female students and minorities and just make sure that we're as accessible as possible. But we still have work to go on that front, and the esports community in general still has a lot of work to go on that front.
Earlier, you had talked about 84% of students finding a community to fit in or feeling like they're part of something. So I would love for you to share more about how that shows up at Snyder specifically. If you could share any story or...
Academically is one of the big and exciting ones right now. So we had tryouts a few months before the season started, and we had about 110 students come to our tryouts. And we ended up narrowing that down a little bit to just about 95 students who are on rosters. And I do grade checks starting right after tryouts once we get rosters set, because we have very strict guidelines of GPA. They have to be passing all of their classes. So when rosters were set, we had 30 students out of those 95 who were failing at least one class, which is par for the course. COVID hasn't been friendly the last few years. We're struggling, like most schools are, to increase student engagement. So this week, we're 3 weeks into the season, and we had two students who were academically ineligible as a result. So that's semi-anecdotal, but I mean, that increase there was huge for us. And it's because students care.
Yeah. And you kept saying that it's just like other sports, but I feel like, to use a maybe esports term, you've leveled up with your team because you are talking about college, and Jacob sees the connection to what he's doing now to a future. And I've seen maps online of career pathways for esports, and I don't see that with other sports. So
yeah,
what you're doing
that maybe is true.
We talked
a little bit about it in the last episode that we had, which was on the official shortage. But one of our suggestions was that athletic departments need to do more in the way of bringing in kids who might not be on a sports team, but might want to do things associated with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to you and learning about esports, it seems like you guys are doing that from the front end of this growth.
Right. Yeah. So we have students that don't play any games. We have social media managers. We have content creators. We have managers for our teams. So not everyone even wants to play. They just want to be involved. And there's definitely career pathways forward for those students.
Yeah. I bet you didn't think when you were asked to do this, wow, I'm going to, you know, build and be part of this community here. But now that you're in it, it probably is really rewarding.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. Again, you know, Chad didn't really ask if I wanted to do this. Chad said, we're doing this. So the process of what this looked like kind of evolved. And I didn't dream that we would have 100 students in our program, that we would even be able to support that. But I have two assistant coaches and I have two volunteer coaches now. So it's really kind of this blossoming.
I am so glad that we got plugged in to what you're doing with the Snyder Esports team. So I have one final question for you, and it's very important. It is, what is your favorite ice cream place in Indiana?
There used to be a place here in Fort Wayne called Axe's. And Axe's had a dish called the Mad Anthony, which was like eight scoops of different ice cream with eight different toppings and eight different sauces in it in a giant, like, big parfait container. And that was definitely an experience.
Go big or go home, right?
There you go. I'm fully invested in everything I do.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with your season. I know you're in the beginning of your season. So Jacob said your rival is Carmel, right?
Yeah, our in-state rival is definitely Carmel across our different teams. So
go get them.
Isn't everyone's rival Carmel for everything?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty friendly with the coach, and every time we play, I remind him that they have 3,000 more students than we do. So that helps a little bit.
You're listening to Across Indiana, Josh and Jana. We will be right back.
We love data. And we also know that a 30-minute podcast is not enough time to fully get plugged in to esports. Here are three resources that Jana and I used to dive deeper into the issue. ISIN is Indiana's grassroots, teacher-led statewide organization that brings esports to Indiana schools while creating a positive community where students are number one. North America Scholastic Esports Federation is on a mission to provide opportunities for all students to use esports as a platform to develop STEAM-based and social-emotional skills. Varsity Esports Foundation was established to offer financial assistance to schools and to provide a pipeline for students to reach their potential through esports. They strive to increase literacy around the esports industry's positive impact on healthy lifestyles, mental health, community, and STEM.
So we are here ready to discuss our big idea. And the question that we are here to answer is there more to esports than video games? After talking to Jacob and Joe and me getting to go to a esports match myself and doing some research, we decided that the answer to this question for us is yes. And we will tell you why. We have two main reasons. We are going to walk through those. I'll let Josh kick it off with our first one.
Sure. Yes. Thank you, Jana. I'll start. I think for me, as I was listening to this episode back and listening to the interview, it's hard not to compare it to our last episode because they are both sports related. And the interesting thing is our big idea from last month was getting more students involved in addressing the officiating shortage. One idea was having a club where students can do more with sports than just the sport itself. And frankly, esports are already doing that. They've only been around 10 to 15 years, but they're incorporating college and career readiness, employability skills, managing social media, broadcasting, and all of this being included in a new sport is just so exciting. And so I just think the answer is an easy yes, and hopefully it's an easy yes for everyone that is listening. It's just exciting. That's all I can really say.
I completely agree, and there is a community happening in esports that gets me jazzed. And you can't see me right now, but I'm doing jazz fingers because it is absolutely amazing. I've talked to too many people in esports in the Indiana scene, and all of them have a story to tell and a story to share about what has happened and how their students have been transformed because of being part of this community. We're talking about teams of 85 people, 95 kids coming together, being involved in something. And a lot of them are involved in other sports and other school activities, but a lot of them, I said a lot and a lot, but I would say a lot of them aren't. And this is their opportunity to be part of something bigger, have that school pride. It is so energizing to hear the teachers and coaches who I've talked to share what they've witnessed and the leadership that has been developed. There are students who like you said, are doing commentary and are fixing computers and are using the skills that they've been given to make a team go as far as it does. I don't know. It's just the most energizing thing that I've heard of in the last month. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And we're in the end of October, early November 2021. We are still coming out of COVID, where students were for almost 2 years completely physically disengaged from their school. And this is such a good opportunity to bring in a group of students that might not be in other sports, might not be in other clubs, but definitely would be interested in this. Joe talks some about his team being an external motivator for students, and we just need to have as many reasons as possible for kids to want to be at school and enjoy being at school.
Yep. Yep, I agree. And one thing that probably merges into our second reason why this is a yes for us, an easy yes, is the student empowerment that Jacob had talked about, and Joe as well. The coach that I visited was at Lafayette Jeff, and she was sharing how she has seen students just take hold of what they want. They're bringing up ideas for the games that they want to play. Nate at Eisen talked about changing games and testing them based on what students are interested in. It just seems like a true student and teacher-led initiative that is willing to morph with what is happening right now and change in the future.
Yeah, so, and with that, I will just put a call to action out to superintendents, to principals, to teachers. If you are interested, if listening to this podcast has sort of perked you up to say, maybe this is something we can do, reach out to Eisen, reach out to schools that have done this before, and just start. Because you have to start somewhere, and the longer you wait, the longer you are going to be behind.
That is one thing that I have struggled with through this conversation is, if a school doesn't have a teacher or principal who's interested in getting this started at their school, then how will it happen? And that conversation of legitimizing esports that Joe had talked about, I am spinning my wheels on what to do about that. So, Josh, if you have any big idea about that to put under our big idea, let me know.
Yeah, I think it's all about student agency. If you're a school that truly promotes student leadership and trusts your students to be the change in your school, then listen to them. Because there's a group of students at every school that are super interested in video games, that are super interested in esports, and by not having an esports team, you're leaving them out of the school community.
And with that, it is time for our moment of inspiration. I don't know if that was the internet lag or, but that didn't really work out well. But
it was right on for me, I'll just say. So this is our third episode, and we, in the last month, received our first phone call. Yay. And yep, it's a moment of inspiration this month because it gave us a new perspective on the officiating shortage. And so we're just going to play a brief part of that phone call and then we'll discuss it.
Hi, Jacob from Bounceway, listening to the podcast and decided to call in. One of the big things that I noticed from this, they focused strictly on how to replace officials and get them to come. But as someone who has played Ultimate Frisbee up into my 30s, one of the big things that I will point to is the promotion of self-officiated sports. I think that it provides a solution to some of the issues that are even discussed with officials, where players, fans, and everything are berating officials and getting them out of the sport.
Wow. Well, we first want to thank Jake for calling in, and his point is a really interesting one. Ultimate Frisbee is a sport that doesn't use officials and is self-policed by the players. And the argument is because of that, sportsmanship is actually better because the players then have ownership over the calls being made. I very much appreciate the call and perspective because it pushes our own research and the podcast episode to a completely different place than we ended up at.
It is important and it's inspiring. I think that all of our questions that we're asking are pretty big and can have different viewpoints. It's important to learn and unlearn, and we hope that this podcast is a space to model that and that we can take this into our lives and that we can continue the conversation. Hopefully someone will call with an idea about esports. Well, that does it for today's episode. Thank you for being here with us today. We look forward to having you back next month. Have a great week.
This episode of Across Indiana with Josh and Jana was produced by Jana Broom with editing from Joshua Long. We'd like to thank Jacob for Kids Corner, Joe Wilhelm, the coach of Snyder Esports, Nate Thompson with Ison for strategic guidance, Kristen and her esports team at Lafayette Jeff, and you for listening. We'd love to hear your big idea around esports or other issues affecting Indiana's youth, or your moment of inspiration. Feel free to send us an email at acrossindianapodcast@gmail.com or leave us a message at 317-983-3915.
So I did play Super Smash Bros. With my sister growing up, but she never told me what to do. And so she'd beat me every time. But I feel like I could.
You just choose Charizard and you dive bomb back and forth the entire round.
I always picked like the one that got puffy, the big pink thing. It was N64 version.
Ouch. Kirby.